Chapter 013. Guillotine Cutter, the priestly man with the hedgehoggish hair. Narrow eyes that, on first glance, appear gentle. A human. A human who denied the existence of aberrations. A human who eliminated the existence of aberrations. He carried no weapons. A vampire hunter by creed. According to Kishot, he was the archbishop of a new religion, as well as the shadow team leader of the Black Squad belonging to the Dark Number 4 group of secret special operations. Episode, the half-vampire, described him as nasty, and even Kishot warned me to be careful of the holy man. And it was Guillotine Cutter who had stolen both of Kishot's arms from her.
Have you run over? Why, you must be exhausted. Though if you are unable to turn your body into mist, you must be a novice with regards to such abilities.
Guillotine Cutter said. He spoke in a ridiculously polite tone, and with narrowed eyes. Speechless, I had no reply. We stood on the athletic field of Naowetsu Private High School. I found Guillotine Cutter waiting for me at the same place where I'd faced Dramaturgy at the end of last month and where I'd battled Episode the previous night. And he held Tsubasa Hanekawa's body in one arm. His hand, which wielded no weapon, was clasped around Hanekawa's neck.
Araragi.
Hanekawa was okay for now. She hadn't been hurt, and she was still conscious. Of course she was. She was there to be used against me, as a hostage. It would be meaningless if she wasn't okay. For now.
I'm sorry, Araragi.
Please don't speak without permission.
Guillotine Cutter said, tightening his fingers around her neck, silencing her. I could hear her breath escaping from inside her neck.
Hey!
Provoking him could turn out poorly, but I couldn't stay silent, so I'd yelled.
Yes?
He asked in an utterly gentle and meek voice.
Is something the matter, monster?
That's a girl, you know!
I abhor gender discrimination.
But she's a normal person!
Why, yes, she is. Otherwise, she wouldn't be a hostage.
Our conversation had stopped making sense to me.
Don't be a jerk!
A jerk? Like this, you mean?
With his fingers still digging into the base of her neck, Guillotine Cutter hoisted up Hanekawa's body. It almost looked like she was being hanged. Hanekawa moaned in pain. This drew a response from Guillotine Cutter.
You're a noisy one, aren't you?
He said, putting her back on the ground. Even then, Hanekawa couldn't allow herself so much as a cough. If she did, even as a physiological response, there was no telling what Guillotine Cutter might do to her. She just stood there, limp.
You!
I didn't feel as though I'd taken it all lightly. I thought I'd taken both episodes and Kishot's words seriously. But as always, I hadn't understood a thing. Guillotine Cutter. Or perhaps, upon hearing that he was human, I'd relaxed a little. I'd gone and relaxed. At the very least, he wasn't monstrously strong or immortal like a vampire or half-vampire, which made me think that the difficulty would be turned down for this fight. But that was not the case. He hadn't hesitated to take a hostage, and that was his way of challenging me to this duel.
No. I'm entirely to blame here.
Oshino has said, truly apologetically, after coming back to the second floor of the abandoned cram school, as Kishot was finally waking up, to tell me that Hanekawa had been kidnapped. His sleazy, frivolous tone was gone.
It would be one thing if this happened 2 days ago, or before that. But I promised to take Missy Class President on last night. Still, I didn't see this coming. It was a problem that Episode threw his cross at her, but that could be said to be a part of combat. Humans who move in this world, including those in my kind of position, tend not to want to affect regular people.
Is that why you were avoiding Hanekawa?
I wasn't really avoiding her, but I didn't have any intention of meeting her face to face. I thought she and I shouldn't exchange words. Yes, well, even I don't care to actively bring regular people, not just Missy class president, but in general into this. I won't try to stop them, but I won't encourage it. That's my position. But as for Guillotine Cutter?
He didn't even seem to hesitate, Oshino said.
He wasn't the least bit shy. It was a complete blunder on my part. I totally misjudged the opponent's capabilities and powers.
But how'd he get Hanekawa? He wouldn't know this place, right?
He must have been watching. Probably the fight with Episode. He may have been watching your fight with Dramaturgy, too. I negotiated with the three separately so that sort of thing wouldn't happen. But he outsmarted me.
Just like how Hanekawa had been watching from the shadows of the school building. Just like how Oshino had been watching from somewhere. Guillotine Cutter, too, had been watching from somewhere.
The barrier is still effective even if you're being followed. But it's not as if Missy class president lives here. He could find her if he looked.
So it was after she left the cram school and the barrier behind. He'd found her on the way back home. Or had he waited for her in front of it? What should I do? I asked Oshino. What is it that I need to do? Strangely enough, I wasn't leveling words of blame. I was more concerned about what to do next. It was all I could think about.
Aside from that, the conditions are the same. You and Guillotine Cutter will go at it one-on-one. And if you win, Guillotine Cutter gives back both of Heart Underblade's arms. If Guillotine Cutter wins, then you tell him where Heart Underblade is.
What about Hanekawa?
She must not count for him. He probably sees her as a tool. No, as a weapon.
A weapon? Like Dramaturgy's great swords. Like Episode's cross. Tsubasa Hanekawa was Guillotine Cutter's weapon. He was armed with her. What about the time and place?
He chose them. The location will be the same as the other times. Naowetsu Private High School's athletic field. And since he specifically asked for this location, we could consider that proof that he was watching your other fights. While the time is the night of April 5th.
What?
In other words, tonight.
While the request made him seem terribly impatient, it was understandable when you took Guillotine Cutter's view, the man's nauseating view. Hanekawa was a regular human. Not only that, she wasn't a washout like me. She was a model student. Her walking around at night was enough to worry even someone like me. If she didn't come home for just one night, her parents would probably contact the police. Guillotine Cutter wanted to settle things before that happened. It was a rotten way to go about it. But it was in its own way. Professional. He wanted to settle things before an uproar ensued. Though I doubted Hanekawa's safety was guaranteed once the fight was over. In fact, I didn't see how he'd let Hanekawa off unscathed now that she knew too much. But there had to be some way for me to take advantage of his wanting to avoid trouble before the fact.
Exactly,
Oshino said.
Good, Araragi. That's the spirit.
Oshino.
This is my mistake at the end of the day. Paper over it as I might. So I'll give you a little more of a hint this time. A way to rescue Missy Class President. If you can do it, then you should be able to beat Guillotine Cutter.
Even though he has a hostage?
Yeah.
He said, nodding.
First, start by forgetting everything you read about how heroes act in super-powered school action manga. Also, forget about your humanity.
There was so little time, not even enough for worrying. So my only option was to go along with the tactic that Oshino described to me after that preface. I was accepting the risk of coming up with a plan in advance of a fight. In other words, the risk of finding myself confused if it failed. But this time around, I had no choice but to swallow it. This was already my third fight, but I still wasn't managing to make good use of my experience.
Unfortunately, Mr. Dramaturgy and young Episode have already left for their home countries. Facing your camp alone was a bit much for me. Without a hostage or two, how could I ever balance the situation?
Intoned Guillotine Cutter, completely unashamed of his actions. He smiled with his thin eyes like it was funny.
Mr. Dramaturgy, who had Miss Heart Underblade's right leg, and young Episode, who had Miss Heart Underblade's left leg, returned them like honest fools. Chivalry? How bizarre. In other words, Miss Heart Underblade must have recovered to a reasonable extent. Once human boy, my dear thrall of Heart Underblade. I can't allow myself to be injured in a head-to-head fight with you.
After all, he wasn't immortal, he proclaimed serenely.
What are you going to do to Hanikawa?
I'm not going to do anything, as long as you don't do anything.
Guillotine Cutter shot back.
If you plan on doing something to this girl, then I will do something to her too. Dealing with just-turned humans is nice and easy, because hostages work on you as they should. Not so when I'm dealing with pure vampires. But perhaps it's different when the hostage is a thrall. Would you like to try being a hostage against Miss Heart Underblade?
Cut the crap!
I'm being entirely serious.
Guillotine Cutter thrust Hanikawa's body out toward me like a shield. Like a tool, plain and simple.
While I may not have superhuman strength like your kind, I have trained quite a bit. A single girl. Killing her would be easy.
I could tell he was strong. That much was clear from the way he was moving Hanikawa around with one arm. But even more so than his body, he had trained his mind. He was far too strong mentally. He wasn't showing anything like an opening in as fraught a situation as this.
By the way, I don't plan on killing her in a way that would give you enough time to resuscitate her, like what happened with young Episode. I'll crush her brain with one blow. Even the blood of a thrall of Miss Heart Underblade wouldn't be able to perfectly restore a destroyed organ as complex as the human brain. Wouldn't you agree?
And you call yourself human?
No. I am God.
Guillotine Cutter declared, placing his free hand on his chest.
Therefore, your kind, who would stand against me, should not exist. I swear to God, name me myself, I will not allow your kind to exist. Though, if, like Mr. Dramaturgy and young Episode, you choose to join me, I suppose I could let you live.
I'll pass,
I instinctively replied. Just the invitation was enough to make my skin crawl. God? Really? You, sir, are far more the monster than I'll ever be. I was sure Meimei Oshino was watching us, just as he had the other times. But no matter what happened, he wouldn't be able to interfere. A one-on-one battle, the result of his negotiations. Hostage-taking just had to be overlooked. There was the option of getting Kiss shot out here, but it would all be meaningless if Guillotine Cutter defeated her. She still wasn't at full power. And even if Kiss shot won, we probably wouldn't be recovering her arms that way. Something had to give. That meant one thing. I would have to prioritize Hanikawa's life.
Is that so?
Guillotine Cutter nodded, hardly sounding disappointed.
To be honest, I never thought you, freshly turned, would defeat Mr. Dramaturgy or young Episode. Those two are surprisingly pitiful.
Look who's talking! You waited until the end to show yourself because you wanted to test the waters with those two first, right?
When it was finally your turn, you used that information to come up with a plan that might work. Oshino had negotiated with the three separately, but they had decided the order. Dramaturgy, Episode, Guillotine Cutter. Dramaturgy had volunteered to lead off, while Episode had shrugged that it was all the same to him. Guillotine Cutter's wish had been to bring up the rear.
Oh, it wasn't the result of any deep thinking. Young Episode must have simply ceded to Mr. Dramaturgy and me, his seniors. And Mr. Dramaturgy, seeking his bounty, preferred to go first. Actually, I suppose Mr. Dramaturgy tried to befriend you, correct? Then he must have been wary of young Episode or I beating you. Of course, your line of reasoning wasn't outside my consideration either. But if one of those two had slain Heart Underblade, the credit would have redounded to my church all the same.
You wanted to take it easy. So he was the one who had put out the bounty. And what was his goal? If Dramaturgy was after the bounty and recruits, Episode was likely moved by emotions first and Prize second, which was why he hadn't cared about the order. But what was Guillotine Cutter's goal? I didn't even need to ask. Duty, that's what it was.
Still, this is just as well. I am not one to avoid getting my hands dirty. I begrudge no labor if it is done to better the world.
But we've chatted for long enough, Guillotine Cutter said. He did talk a lot. He was probably a talkative man by nature, but maybe his loquacity was also a sign of overconfidence. There are two ways to defeat a superior opponent. Win by making them overconfident, or win by making them nervous. It seemed clear that the former was the only option here. That was how I'd beaten both Dramaturgy and Episode. And at that moment, Guillotine Cutter seemed overconfident. While he may have had no openings, he took me lightly. I had a chance of winning. But to do that, I had to abandon my humanity. Hanakawa! Ignoring Guillotine Cutter's words, I spoke to Hanakawa, whom he still held in his arm. It'll be okay. Hanakawa didn't reply. She couldn't, because she was being choked. She only looked at me. I promise I'll save you, I added.
How unpleasant,
Guillotine Cutter said, in the same calm tone.
I am not so tolerant as to allow myself to be a willing participant in your show of high school friendship. God, which is to say me, has spoken. Let it begin.
Begin? I said, now looking at Guillotine Cutter. How? There's nothing I can do as long as you have Hanakawa hostage. And I don't plan on doing anything either. I absolutely need to submit to you. Under those circumstances, how can we even fight?
God, which is to say me, has spoken. All you need to do is put your hands up and say, I give up, the moment the battle begins. In other words, the match will be decided as soon as it begins.
Okay. I nodded without so much as a pause. There was no reason to pause. So start by releasing Hanakawa.
Do you really think I'd make it that easy for you? The hostage will be freed after the battle is over. What kind of fool lets go of his weapon in the middle of a fight?
Was that God speaking too? Give me a break. Hanakawa? A weapon? No, she's different. She's different from you. And me. She's not someone you should be allowed to touch.
Aranagi!
Hanakawa cried out then, her neck still in his clutch. Even as her neck was on the verge of being snapped, even as she was being threatened with the destruction of her brain, she still cried out.
You don't need to care about me!
How could I not care about you? I shouted back. And that signaled the start of our battle. Of course, Guillotine Cutter didn't move. He didn't do anything, except inch open his narrow eyes and laugh at me hysterically. It was a loud, shrill laugh. I didn't want to have to hear it, so I went on shouting. I told you I'm not so desperate to become human again that I'd do it at your expense. There's no point in becoming human if I can't ever see you again. And I hardly even needed to raise my arms. The battle was over as soon as it started. Just as Guillotine Cutter had said.
What?
Only, I had won. I shoved Guillotine Cutter's body as hard as I could, and managed to recover Hanakawa's body in the process. It was simple. Extremely simple. And convenient.
What are you?
Guillotine Cutter groaned.
That too is your vampire power?
Nope. That was the power of friendship. However, he and I were 30 feet away from each other. Guillotine Cutter wouldn't have allowed me to get any closer, and I didn't trust myself enough with projectiles be it a shot put or a roller, not to hit Hanekawa, whom he'd been using as a shield. Which was why I hadn't moved. I'd closed the distance without moving. By transforming my body. Yeah, I don't see a superpowered school action hero ever doing this. In fact, it was what an enemy would do. Just as Dramaturgy had transformed his arms into wavy greatswords, I had turned my arms into plants, stretching them forward as far as they'd go. I'd considered various scenarios, but the image of extending my body was hard for me to visualize in a short period of time. So instead, I pictured replacing my body with plants. Plants I could do. I'd thought every day about how much I wanted to become a plant. True, I never wanted to become a monster. But it had gone exactly as I'd envisioned. I had doubts about pulling it off like Dramaturgy, even if I was a vampire like him. But Oshino had shot me down.
You can run up walls and you can jump 60 feet.
In which case?
You can pull off a little transformation. The rationale is the same. They say crabs dig holes to match their size and shape, but there's no need for you to stick to looking like a human. Since Guillotine Cutter thinks you're a noob vampire, he'll never expect it. Just picture a non-human form and change your body accordingly.
I repeated that it was impossible. His answer was...
No, but abandoning Missy Class President isn't?
Oshino, you bastard. My two arms had grown, not into great swords, but like great trees flourishing in an old-growth forest on a lonely island, splitting off into countless branches, every last one of which I was aware of and able to freely control. Shoving Guillotine Cutter's chest, and snaring his arms. Even retrieving Hanekawa had been within my means. Maybe I'd gone overboard with my image. Looking at myself, I certainly wasn't human. I had abandoned my humanity. In the end, when I complained I couldn't do what Dramaturgy did, I was refusing to let go of my humanity, rather than just clinging to the common sense I'd acquired as a human. It wasn't something I was supposed to be capable of if I hoped to become human again. I couldn't picture myself as anything other than a human being. But those illusions were just that. Illusions. I was already a monster. From there, I slammed Guillotine Cutter to the ground, restrained him, and shut him up. I didn't care if it was God speaking or whatever. I didn't want to hear him spew any more lines. And so I bound his mouth shut with ivy, and knocked him out. Of course, I didn't go so far as to kill him. I had to get Kishot's arms back from him for one, and I'd been able to do something so outrageous. Thanks to you, Guillotine Cutter. Thanks to you. I thought never turning back into a human was maybe fine. Whew. I returned my arms to their original form, which took no time at all. No mental images or anything required. These were arms I'd been seeing for 17 years, so remembering them was enough. I'd gone and come up with the reckless idea, in the worst case, of cutting off both of my arms if it didn't work, so I was more than a little relieved. I pulled Hanekawa toward me as I did this. Hanekawa, are you okay? I held her close and looked at her neck. Clear and painful impressions of fingers were left on it, but there seemed to be no internal bleeding. In that case, the marks would disappear soon enough. I checked to see if anything else had been done to her, but no, she seemed fine. Thank goodness. Thank goodness, really. Nothing could make me happier.
Araragi?
Hanekawa used both of her hands to push against my chest. I wondered what she was doing until I realized that she seemed to be trying to get away from me.
Could you let go?
Okay. When I relaxed my arms, Hanekawa moved even farther away. She was putting some distance between us. Hanekawa?
Thank you, Araragi.
Hanekawa mumbled, her eyes avoiding mine.
But, please don't come near me. Just don't come close. And don't touch me.
What? Was she afraid of me? Because I got her involved in this? Because she nearly got killed? Or was she frightened because my arms had transformed? Was she scared of me because I'd abandoned my humanity? But, I mean, I was...
No, it's not like that.
Hanakawa said bashfully as she fixed the hem of her skirt.
Just... I'm not wearing panties right now.
Chapter 014. Next day, April 6th. Afternoon. Night, in other words, for a vampire. So as usual, both Kishot and I were sleeping in the abandoned cram school second floor classroom, the one with the blocked windows. I was roused out of bed by Meimei Oshino, who hadn't come home the previous night or even shown himself to us. Who knows where that humble attitude of his from yesterday had gone, as he was now laughing away in his usual, sleazy way.
Morning, Araragi.
I can't begin to describe how sleepy I am.
Yeah. Over this way.
I was pulled out into the hallway, my eyes still blurry, while Kishot dozed away, not even turning over in her sleep, despite our chattering. What a peaceful soul. Did she never worry? What is it, Oshino?
I don't know about the hallway. I'm sure Heart Underblade won't wake up, but let's go upstairs just to be safe. Up to the fourth floor.
Fourth floor? As drowsy as I felt, I was still capable of making judgments. The windows are open up there. What do you think is going to happen once the sun hits me?
Don't worry, it's raining today.
Raining? Now that I thought about it, it hadn't rained in a while. Unless it had been while I was unconscious before turning into a vampire, this was the first time during spring break. Or maybe it had rained during some of the 12-hour afternoon stretches that I slept through. I wasn't looking at the weather report, so I wasn't sure.
So it's fine. And with your healing abilities, even in the off chance that the sun hits you, it's not like you'll die on the spot, huh?
Tell me that after you've had your body evaporate once.
Come on, let's go.
Oshino began to wander up the stairs, and I followed him, careful of my step. It didn't seem to matter what classroom we went into, as long as we were on the fourth floor, and Oshino chose the closest door. Once he finally got the thing, with its broken knob, to open, we were greeted by a tragically messy room. He didn't have the luckiest fingers.
Up.
But he seemed to ignore this fact entirely, dragging a random seat over and sitting on it backwards. I did the same, out of a vague impulse to imitate him. That, I pointed at the Boston bag Oshino held. My eyes were focused at last. It was the same bag that had held Kishot's right leg and Kishot's left leg. Which meant...
Yep.
Oshino nodded.
Absolutely correct. Both of Heart Underblade's arms are inside.
I see. Relieved, I took a deep sigh. After Oshino hadn't returned by morning, I was concerned that just maybe Guillotine Cutter didn't intend to return Kishot's arms. For her part, Kishot barely seemed to care and went to sleep with a...
Morning, is it? Time to sleep.
A peaceful soul, without a single worry. That, or I was faint-hearted. But this was Guillotine Cutter, the man who had called both Dramaturgy and Episode honest fools for returning Kishot's right and left legs, respectively. It seemed entirely possible that he'd renege on his promises. No matter how much I fretted, my only option was to hope Oshino could take care of it.
Oh, I know what you want to say, Araragi. You're surprised that Guillotine Cutter kept his promise, right?
Well, to be direct about it, yes.
That's where my skills come into play. I am a negotiator, after all. Though, to spoil it, Guillotine Cutter didn't actually seem to be interested in returning them.
After all...
He was being pretty stingy, no surprise there. Unlike the other two, Guillotine Cutter was acting out of duty.
Duty, huh? I recalled the many lines he'd delivered. Still, is that how you act when you think you're one of the good guys?
Everyone has their own definition of good. You shouldn't be so quick to repudiate others. He was a villain to you, that's all. And despite all he said, in the end...
Oshino tossed the Boston bag in front of me, roughly, like it was luggage.
He did give it back.
I'm amazed he did.
Like I said, I had to convince him.
How? He's basically a fanatic, or maybe a fantasist to my non-religious eyes. For him, isn't returning a vampire's limbs like abandoning his faith?
Like I said, these guys will listen if you talk to them. They're pros, after all.
Pros, you say?
Yes, professionals.
My cross-examination must have been starting to annoy Oshino. He tried to bring an end to it with that word.
Specifically, I told him how you wanted to turn back into a human after collecting Heart Underblade's limbs, and how Heart Underblade had agreed.
So you're saying Guillotine Cutter backed down for my sake?
That's one way to put it, I guess.
Oshino said somewhat vaguely. He seemed to be insinuating something, but then I remembered that this was a guy who spoke in an awfully insinuating tone no matter the time or place. It didn't seem very meaningful to take it at face value. His know-it-all pose could be just that, a pose. In any case, it was a good thing that Kishot's parts had been returned. Normally that would be all, no further discussion necessary. I didn't want to have to think of Guillotine Cutter again. I undid the zipper of the Boston bag. Inside were her right arm from the elbow down, and her entire left arm, torn off from the joint of its shoulder.
I did at least make sure he could save face. Of course, I also gave him a very strong warning about kidnapping Missy Class President. If this were a game of soccer, that would have earned him a yellow card.
A red card, you mean?
Maybe a red card if he killed her. Episode would have received one if she died after what he did. But then you tried to kill Episode, so let's call it even.
It wasn't like I was trying to kill him, I wanted to say, but I stopped myself short of the end. That was a lie, plain and simple. I'd lost my temper and couldn't help it, or actually, didn't even care what happened. If Oshino hadn't stopped me, I probably would have killed Episode. I did try to kill him. Well...
What? You're so spirited today, Araragi. Raising your voice one second and muffling it the next? Something good happened to you today?
Oshino said as if to sweep things under the rug, before taking a peek at the arms inside the Boston bag and pointing to them with his unlit cigarette.
Anyway, I guess this makes all four of her limbs that you fetched. Congratulations, Araragi. Mission complete. I'm as happy for you as if this concerned yourself.
A little more empathy, please?
Well, it's not my problem, is it?
Sure, it wasn't his problem.
I'm impressed. I really am. A mere high school student with no combat experience whatsoever took on 3 veteran vampire hunting specialists and defeated all 3 in a row. I must take my hat off to you.
You don't wear a hat.
It's a figure of speech.
Oshino said, putting his cigarette in his mouth. He didn't light it. I know this might be a pointless question, but... Oshino, why don't you ever light your cigarettes?
Hmm? Well, if I did, it'd be harder to adapt into an anime, right?
Why did he care so much about an anime adaptation? It was a complete mystery to me.
Now, Araragi. I'm telling you congratulations, but you seem awfully sullen. You accomplished your goal. That's something to be happy about. It's like you're at a wake or something.
I still feel doubtful, Oshino, I said. It was about one of the things that bugged me. I've been going back and forth on whether to ask Oshino, but now, face to face with his carefree attitude, it felt idiotic to be mulling it over. If there was something I wanted to ask, I needed to go ahead. If he wouldn't give an answer, then that was that. It's about Guillotine Cutter.
Hmm.
Well, I understand in theory, he underestimated me in yesterday's battle, and as a result I was able to beat him without even getting wounded. I understand that in theory, but Oshino, it's like you just said. A single attack from a mere high schooler who transformed his body for the first time ever? That was all it took to defeat someone as dangerous as him? A man who stole both arms away from a legendary vampire?
Hmm.
And actually, it's not just Guillotine Cutter. It's the same for Dramaturgy and Episode. They each took Kishot's right leg and left leg. But when you look at what ended up happening, they were easily defeated by me. Someone who, as you said, has no combat experience, who's only ever been in scuffles with his little sister. How could that be? I got lucky, you could say, that it was a fluke. But wasn't there a more constructive answer? Is it that they're weak? Or am I too strong? While I asked the question, I had no guess as to what the answer might be. It baffled me, plain and simple. But, and I didn't know why, I felt like Oshino knew the answer. Because he was more neutral than anyone else. Because he was someone who tried to maintain a balance.
It's both,
he said, sure enough.
From their perspective, you're just too strong. And from your perspective, they're just too weak. After all, you're the thrall of none other than Kishot Acero Laurian Heart Underblade.
But is that really the only reason?
It's the only reason.
he, Meimei Oshino, asserted.
If you're looking for a reason why an amateur like yourself was able to defeat them, that's the only one. Still, it was a very real chance you'd lose. In fact, the odds were heavily stacked against you. You were quite impressive out there, Araragi.
Heavily stacked against me? You brought the situation back to 50-50, didn't you? It was about balance. I had been granted the locational advantage. Killing had been forbidden. And when Hanekawa was kidnapped, I was alerted to a tactic to make up for Guillotine Cutter having that much of an edge. He made sure that things were 50-50. But I'm saying it doesn't make sense if that's true. If you start off with that premise, it stops making sense.
Stops making sense? How?
I'm this strong as a thrall. If Kishot was in full power mode, how could those three stand a chance against her even if they all attacked at the same time? That was my gut feeling. Even if you went with the lowest possible estimation of Kishot's power as a vampire in her regular form, there was no way she could be weaker than me. And on top of that, she had 500 years of experience. 500 years of experience. Combat experience. Dramaturgy's wavy greatswords. Episode's giant cross. Guillotine Cutter's fearsome underhandedness. Even together, could they rob Kishot a Serora Orion heart underblade of her limbs? I could only arrive at one conclusion. It seemed impossible. Like there'd be no way.
You've got good intuition, Araragi. Keep at it, and you might turn out to be quite the expert.
Oshino said with a sly grin. Just as I thought that he had no intention of answering me seriously, he proved me wrong. He continued and answered my question.
You're exactly right, Araragi. Those three must have decided to attack her together, because they knew they stood no chance of defeating Heart Underblade individually. But even together, they still would have had no chance of defeating Heart Underblade. Only... If Heart Underblade wasn't at her full power at that moment, things would be different, yes?
Not at her full power. Those words began to summon something from within my memories. I didn't even need to mess with my brain to remember. Kishot had mentioned it herself. She had felt under the weather, or something along those lines. I had thought it was an excuse, but what if it wasn't?
So when Heart Underblade faced those three, it was a 50-50 fight.
Oshino said. Huh?
Well, I was planning on giving this to you whether you asked or not, but I'm glad, Araragi. Giving this to you after you've asked me makes things flow smoother. You can be pretty sharp sometimes, Araragi.
Then Oshino pulled something out of his Hawaiian shirt pocket and tossed it in my direction. I thought he was throwing his box of cigarettes at me, but that wasn't it. At any rate, I couldn't see how the pocket of Oshino's Hawaiian shirt could fit something that big inside of it. It was a chunk of bright red meat. It was a heart.
Ugh!
I cowered and nearly let it fall from my hands, but somehow managed to maintain enough composure not to. I maintained it, but found myself frozen to the spot. Yet, while I stood there frozen, the heart continued to pound.
The heart of Kishot Acerolaorian Heart Underblade,
Oshino said.
She'd fought those vampire hunters 1-3 without it, so it's understandable that she got her limbs torn off.
Of course it was understandable. Even I understood that a vampire's power owed to her blood. So without a heart, the most vital element in the delivery of that blood, it was more surprising that all she did was lose her limbs. She hasn't noticed, has she? I said.
Probably not. She thinks that all she's missing is her limbs. And probably that it really was her not feeling her best that had nearly gotten her killed. She's too confident. The thought that the rug had been pulled out from under her would never cross her mind.
Ah, so that's how it was. Huh. I knew Guillotine Cutter was a crafty one, but stealing Kishot's heart from under her nose? So they piled on her afterwards? Well, taking Kishot's heart without her noticing must have been pretty hard work. Maybe I should be more impressed by that?
No, Araragi.
Oshino disagreed. Pretty smoothly.
It wasn't Guillotine Cutter who took her heart.
Huh? What? So did Dramaturgy or Episode steal it and give it to Guillotine Cutter for safekeeping?
No. It wasn't Dramaturgy or Episode either.
Then who was it? The spine-chilling thought ran through my head that perhaps a fourth vampire hunter would make his appearance. But Oshino's reply consisted of a single syllable.
Me.
For a moment, I was speechless. A number of lines came to me, but I kept them all to myself, none of them seeming cut out for the occasion. Then, without any prompt, Oshino began explaining, and he sounded like the villain of some historical drama giving his soliloquy.
Yes, I did really start out as a passerby, wandering the streets at night. I found an incredibly powerful vampire, one who was certainly no laughing matter. It wasn't hard at all for me to guess that she was the Aberration Slayer, so I plucked out her heart, in order to balance things.
Because he also guessed, he noted, that a number of vampire hunters would have come to this town as well.
I plucked out her heart, quietly, so that she wouldn't notice.
You're up to such a task? I asked, recognizing how stupid the question was as soon as it left my mouth. Why, the proof was right in front of me. Moreover, Oshino had stopped a triple attack from dramaturgy, episode, and guillotine cutter in a jokey pose, looking like a one-legged scarecrow. It was because he had such skills that he could negotiate with those three.
I am,
Oshino replied.
I'm not saying that it was easy or anything, and it wasn't just hard work. It was absolutely back-breaking. It was especially hard to do it so that she wouldn't notice. I brought a cross, some garlic, and some holy water as my weapons, and somehow managed to conceal myself. But even after all of that, I still didn't know how it would shake out. The odds were no greater and no lesser than 50-50. The dice just happened to fall in the favor of those three.
And after Kiss Shot, all four of her limbs torn off, barely escaped with her life, she met me.
And held on to it thanks to your blood,
Oshino said.
And you became a vampire.
I see. So, it's not strange at all that I could defeat those three. Forget about it not being strange. It made more sense. The difference in raw ability was absolute. So was telling Kishot about an abandoned cram school she could use as a hideout your idea of atoning for it? Even going so far as to put a barrier around the place while we were inside?
Atoning for it? I didn't commit any sin. Again, it was a question of balance. Your participation changed the state of the game.
The state of the game?
I never expected the Aberration Slayer to make a human her thrall. That was far afield of my expectations. I thought the story had ended for me at the point when I removed her heart. But that reset everything.
Reset? Now that he mentioned it, those three had said something similar. That it was totally unexpected for Kishot to create a thrall. A notion or something. She had some notion about not creating thralls.
But while the situation may have been reset, Heart Underblade had now become too weak. One against three, or two against three, even if we included you, her thrall, wasn't lending itself to any equilibrium.
So, happening to pass by Kishot as she dragged me, happening to pass by as I was being attacked by those three, that was all on purpose? Your coming on stage didn't seem to have any rhyme or reason, so I was wondering. But that was how it was? Teaching Kishot about this abandoned cram school, saving me from those three, all in order to achieve balance. So that's how it was.
Oh no, that was just by chance,
Oshino said in a teasing tone.
It just means you two were lucky.
While I thought there was no way that could be true, part of me also thought that maybe it was. A phenomenon could only be observed after the fact. So, even if Kishot gets all of her limbs back, she won't be able to return to full power? Even if she got them back. Her right leg, her left leg, both of her arms. If she still lacked her heart, that was fatal.
But of course,
Oshino agreed with a nod.
Which is why you were going to get her heart back from me next. Because even with the Aberration Slayer's arms, you'd have been the more powerful vampire. It was with the fourth fight, the one between me and you, that the balance was to be restored.
I have to fight you?
You were going to.
Going to?
Constantly being referred to as a slob by you, I turn out, in fact, to be the last boss. But my careful foreshadowing went to waste.
Where's the care in that? It didn't pan out, even if they had a number of letters in common. Plus, I didn't recall ever calling him a slob. Sleazy, maybe, but still not to his face. I guess he knew he came across that way without having to be told.
I'm skipping that part.
This time, Oshino lazily used his lips to move his cigarette, still in his mouth, downward to point at the heart in my hands.
See? I've already given it back to you.
What?
If you want to talk about atonement, now that's atonement. I really am sorry about Missy Class President. I wasn't joking when I said it's rare for regular humans to get themselves this involved in a situation. Normally humans run from aberrations. There's something a little off about that girl. You can't explain her actions through goodness alone.
Tsubasa Hanekawa. Not self-sacrifice, but self-satisfaction. Even after she was nearly killed by Guillotine Cutter, she was considerate. After it was over, too, she didn't have a single word of blame for me. In fact, she said something ridiculous like,
"Sorry for getting captured so easily. I should have kept my eyes open."
"To be completely frank with you,"
Oshino muttered, almost to himself,
"I find that degree of kindness creepy."
"Seriously? That's no way to put it."
"I'm sure you feel the same way, don't you?"
he asked, once again acting like he saw through me. But yes, it was true. I'd said something similar to Hanekawa. And despite the fact that I had, Hanekawa hadn't changed a bit.
"It's like she's forcing herself to be a good person. Of course, that doesn't mean I can blame Missy Class President for what happened to her. In the end, it was my plan that saved her. But it was you who carried it out, Araragi. And I don't believe yesterday night is enough to atone for it."
During the brief moments he spent saying these words, Oshino looked solemn, just like the day before.
"What a blunder. That was so bad that you could hold every Oshino who lives in Japan accountable for it."
"It was your mistake. Don't drag every Oshino living in Japan into it."
"Anyway, consider that heart as reparations, Araragi. My way of showing you just how sincere I am."
"Reparations?"
"It's part of our trusting relationship. And with this, balance has been restored. Though there are still a few kinks here and there."
Saying so, Oshino stood from his seat.
"Her right leg, her left leg, her right arm, her left arm, and her heart. Now you've recovered all of Kishida Serolaorian Heart Underblade's lost parts. In other words, now you can go back to being human. Allow me to congratulate you once more. It's okay for you to be happy, you know."
"Honestly, I feel conflicted," I said. "It's almost like it was all fixed."
"You're overthinking it. If someone fixed this whole situation, then I probably belong to the fixed side."
"I don't see it that way."
"Whether you do or don't, that's the reality. You overestimate me a bit in ways, Araragi. Even I have things that I can and cannot do. I may be the genius type, but I'm not actually a genius."
"What an annoyingly misleading type."
"I may have prepared situations, but I didn't preordain them. Oh, and by the way, this is simply out of curiosity, Araragi, but haven't you felt hungry lately?"
"Huh? No, I think I told you earlier, but I haven't felt very hungry since becoming a vampire. I think it might be the immortality."
"I see."
"Why do you ask?"
"Oh, do mind."
"So I should."
"I think it's time you started to feel hungry. It's already been 2 weeks." "That was rough, huh? All right, Araragi. Be careful not to do anything rash again after you turn back into a human. Once a person has encountered an aberration, he gets dragged in more easily henceforth. So do be careful."
With that, Oshino began heading to the exit, leaving behind me as well as his chair, which he didn't even bother to return to the original position. "Hey, what's your deal? Don't make it sound like you're done with this place."
"But I am done. My work here is over. It ended in failure, but what's done is done. What's over is over. Oh, Araragi, that's right. About your 2 million yen and Missy Class President's 3 million. 5 million yen in total. Consider it paid and done."
"Lazy bum?"
"No, that's me. Paid and done. Offset, canceled out. I'm making up for my mistake with Heart Underblade's heart, and, well, that might already be enough, but consider it a bonus." "No need to look at me like that. I don't have any secret motives. I'm more generous than you might think when it comes to money. I'm not going to complain as long as we have balance. So, send my regards to Missy Class President.
You're going to go without ever meeting her?
Yep. I guess this is going to end without us ever meeting. But there's no need for us to go out of our way to meet each other.
Maybe so. But now that everything is over with those three, it's not like there's any danger of getting her mixed up in anything, is there?
Even so, it'd be awkward for us to meet at this point.
Plus, Oshino added, on top of that...
That girl does creep me out,
he said unambiguously and harshly. Oshino laughed a merry laugh as if to change the topic.
Well, I still plan on wandering around this town for a while longer. Say hi if you see me. If you can't stop yourself from feeling indebted to me because I called off your payment, well, why not look into tales of aberrations that have been handed down in this town so you can teach me about them? That's what my real specialty is supposed to be. I want to be done with all this hack and slash. It's not my style. It really isn't.
Oshino kept walking at the same pace, opening the door with the broken knob, exiting out into the hallway, and closing the door again even as he said all that. He didn't say goodbye. Now that I thought about it, I'd never seen him utter parting words to anyone. Even for the most innocuous of partings, all he ever did was chuckle and smirk. Is he serious? Feeling indebted to him? Was he serious? Of course I didn't feel indebted. Whether or not he'd fixed everything, he was part of the reason we'd gotten into this fix. Of course, he'd saved us too. No, if I said that to him, I knew what he'd say in reply. We just saved ourselves on our own. So now I've got her right arm, her left arm, and her heart. Both of her arms from Guillotine Cutter. Her heart from Meimei Oshino. All of the missing pieces had been collected. At last, it was time for the iron-blooded, hot-blooded, yet cold-blooded vampire, Kishot Acerola Orion Heart Underblade, the Aberration Slayer, to be fully restored. Chapter
015. Yippee!
That was the first cry to come from Kishot in her perfect form. After she woke up that night, I gave her the three parts I had received from Oshino. I had to think about it for a while, but I decided to tell her the whole truth about her heart. Kishot simply replied with a happy-go-lucky,
aha,
before taking the kind of bite out of her own bright red heart that you would expect from someone eating an apple. It's only polite not to bother a lady with one's presence while she's eating, so I exited into the hallway. And after a little while, I heard that shriek of joy, filled with happiness, from the bottom of her heart. I opened the door and went back inside the classroom. Standing there was Kishot in her perfect form. It was she, the woman I'd met under the street lamp that day. Her golden hair, it was now even longer and loosely tied together at her nape. A chic dress, and she was far taller than me. She was simply beautiful. Not just cute or cool. It seemed like the first time in my life that I was struck by actual beauty. No, I'd felt the same way that day, too. She truly was perfect. Her form was one of perfection.
Woohoo! I'm back! I'm back!
Well, if she weren't skipping around in the classroom so wildly in her perfect form, perhaps I'd have felt even more struck, even moved. She really was whooping it up. Forget dignity. By the way, Kishot, it seems like Oshino took his leave this afternoon.
Hmm? So what?
Well, your heart. Aren't you going to get mad at him?
'Tis a trifling matter. I shall grant him forgiveness. I mean, I don't care.
She laughed girlishly in spite of her current form, still hopping and skipping around. I hadn't noticed when she was under that street lamp, given the circumstances. But Kishot's breasts were huge. Every time she skipped, they bounced and bounced. Bounced and bounced. The bust of her dress was fairly exposed as well. Ah, so that, 10 years old, by the way of that, 17 years old, finally ended up like this, 27 years old. A grand mystery. With her feeling so happy and hyper, maybe she'd let me touch those breasts if I asked. The low thought passed through my mind, but I didn't have the courage to put the plan into action. It certainly didn't mesh with being moved.
Hmm?
Halt. Kishot stopped moving. Wait, had she read my mind? I suddenly felt uneasy and asked her, What's wrong, Kishot? I felt like my voice was quivering slightly too. Kishot didn't move for a while, only causing my discomfort to grow. But after a bit, she replied,
Huh? What is it? Were you speaking to my after image?
Your after image?
I just circled the Earth 7.5 times.
What are you, Light? I interjected for what would probably be the first and only time in my life.
Just kidding, just kidding. If I had circled it 7.5 times, I would be in Brazil right now.
Kishot cackled. Sheesh. She really was being hyper.
It is truly a wonderful thing to be myself and complete, my dear servant.
Kishot frolicked for another 2 hours or so, but at last she began to calm down. Once she did, she said,
Allow me to give my thanks once again. Of course, I had expected thee to do a splendid job of gathering my arms and legs, but even to collect my heart, which I had not even noticed was missing, was quite unanticipated. I bestow my praise upon thee.
I don't know about that. Though she thanked and praised me, something still didn't feel right. I just couldn't get rid of the sense that everything had been fixed, that I'd danced to someone's tune. It feels like all I did was wander around aimlessly. Rather than me gathering them, they just gathered together, I said. If anyone deserved credit, it was probably Oshino. But he wouldn't like my saying so. In that case, it was thanks to Hanekawa. Tsubasa Hanekawa. By the way, she wasn't visiting that night. The next time we met would be during the new school year, as we decided. Together. Of course, now that all three of the three vampire hunters had been defeated, it seemed unthinkable that coming would put her in danger all over again. But we judged that it was best for her to stay away from the abandoned cram school. Plus, it hadn't been a given that Guillotine Cutter would return Kishot's arms when we'd agreed on that. I say the new school year like it was some far-off event, but it was only 2 days away. Just around the corner. The next time we met, I'd be human. Should be, at least. Oshino left having avoided Hanekawa, openly at the end. But perhaps Hanekawa had wanted to at least meet him? In fact, I'd forgotten to ask her. Whatever. There was nothing I could do about it. At any rate... Kishot, I'm sorry to have to ask this when you're celebrating, but I'd like you to hurry up and turn me back into a human.
Yes, there was that matter. Calm thyself. I shall turn thee back. But, my servant, won't ye have a little talk with me first?
A talk?
There is so much... Well, not much to talk about. Only, in turning thee back into a human, there is something I wish to discuss.
Kishot said in a perfectly cool tone. Her cold eyes had returned as well. She seemed to be serious now. Sure, I guess.
Then let us change our venue.
We can't do it here?
Doing so would pose no problem, but, well, I'd like to create the right mood.
Let's go upstairs, Kishot said. I did as she said, leaving the classroom and climbing the stairs. It looked like it had stopped raining, but it was now night. No matter where I went, there was no danger of evaporating. Kishot overtook me partway up the stairs, and she ended up climbing to the fourth floor. She chose the same classroom Oshino and I had entered that afternoon. Just as I was fully expecting to begin our talk there, Kishot asked in a sullen voice,
Can we go no higher?
They probably don't have a usable rooftop. I didn't see anything like an emergency exit up to it either, I said. Kishot glared at the ceiling, sharply. When she did, a portion of it blew off. Concrete began to crumble down on us, but making no effort to dodge, she said,
Come with me, servant.
Then, as if it were the most natural thing to do, she sprouted bat-like wings from her exposed back, her dress being just as revealing there as it was on the front, and flapped her way outside through the hole that her gaze had punched into the ceiling. I didn't know where to begin with that one. Her biology seemed to be made up of plot holes. Wait, so Kishot was able to destroy things with her gaze. Even Episode's mean stare paled in comparison to that. She outclassed Dramaturgy's abilities of transformation, too. She'd sprouted those wings. I attempted to do the same, but while I could do plants after my years of visualization practice, I'd never even imagined myself with wings before. It wasn't happening. So I just jumped up through the hole. Making that kind of jump is still pretty impressive, you know? We were on the rooftop floor of the abandoned, ruined cram school. Well, rooftop floor might not be accurate. We were just on top of a roof. And there, on top of that roof, Kishot sat, her arms around her legs. Under the starlight, sitting there looking almost melancholic, she had a strange sensuality to her. I began to feel kind of nervous. Somehow, I grew timid and shrank. Her perfect form, a perfect figure, a perfect existence, a greater existence. I felt reminded of the fact that, after all, I was nothing more than her thrall.
Hmm?
Kishot abruptly looked my way.
What is the matter? Approach me.
Okay. I did as she said, and sat down next to Kishot. Then, suddenly, she hit me with a headbutt. Nailed me, forehead to forehead.
What was that for?
Why cower so? Thou art my precious servant. I won't eat thee.
Her words showed that she knew exactly how I was feeling. But she was right. Seeing Kishot laugh, I felt stupid to be cowering. The thought helped me relax all at once.
Now, what do I talk about with thee?
Wasn't there something you wanted to discuss? In turning me back into a human, she'd said so.
That was not quite accurate. It is not that I wish to speak to thee of something. I merely wish to speak with thee of something.
Huh? That's an odd thing to say. Let's chat. I recalled Hanekawa saying something along those lines to me once. Well, vampire or not, I guess she was a woman. Maybe she enjoyed chatting. Perhaps this was like her full recovery party. And this is something necessary in order to turn me back into a human?
Indeed it is. For me.
You've lived for 500 years, though. You must have tons of things to talk about.
Nothing in particular,
Kishot said.
All of these years, I have been battling the likes of those three. And before I knew it, I'd become a legend. True, a man like that boy is rare.
By boy, you mean Oshino.
To steal away my heart unnoticed is quite the feat. I've no memories of ever being inattentive. I don't so much as know when the two of us crossed paths.
Who is he exactly?
A good question. But even I shiver at the thought of what would have been had the boy decided to devote himself wholly to the hunting of vampires. Thankfully, he is an opportunist who only tries to secure himself a middle ground.
An opportunist? Part of me thought it was a nasty thing to call him, but it also seemed like a surprisingly fitting title. So much so that I could see Oshino gleefully taking it on if I told him.
Which is why these events have been a reasonably stimulating experience for me. But mostly, it has been 500 years of boredom. Let me see. If there is anything for me to speak of, that man would be it.
That man?
Thou art the second thrall I have created. As I trust I have told thee, this would be about my first thrall.
Your first... How long ago did she say that was? 400 years? Yeah, you did mention it. Something about it being your second time, and the first in 400 years. Like you or some team getting to the World Series.
The World Series?
Never mind. Just trying to find an example. Anyway, what was that first thrall of yours like? I'm interested.
Very well, then I shall tell.
Was he like me?
Why do ye think so?
Because... I hadn't told her this yet. Oshino was gone, so I guess it'd be fine. Oshino actually taught me something. He said that vampires suck blood for one of two reasons, and that you don't necessarily become a thrall when your blood is sucked.
Hmm.
Kishot knit her brows.
Don't be mistaken. It was not as if I wanted to spare thy life. I simply needed a thrall and used thee to collect my limbs. I suppose I can reveal this now, but had I told thee, ye might have not obeyed me, so I lie.
Oshino also said that you'd probably say that.
Huh.
Kishot fell silent, and remained silent. Was it because I was right on the mark, or was it because I'd missed it? I didn't know which. Well, anyway, that's why I thought he might be like me. After all, we're the only two you chose to be your thralls. As I tried to backtrack, thinking that maybe I should have kept Mum after all, Kishot refuted my hypothesis.
The only trait I'd say ye share with him is thy race. He was a warrior. A warrior so mighty I could entrust my back to him.
Huh. Well, I couldn't be entrusted with that, I suppose. Entrust me? Maybe with her keys or something. Nah, not even her keys. Hey, that was 400 years ago. Unlike now, all the men were warriors, basically.
Thy view of history is quite prejudiced and warped, I must say.
I do suck at world history. I mean, you know how I am. I'm not good at, I said, fishing for the English word, at thinking hysterically.
I was not aware that in a historical manner was the subtle connotation of that word.
Now she knew that I sucked at English, too.
Be that as it may, this country has grown quite peaceful since I last visited long ago. As if it has been cut off from the rest of the world.
Well, excuse us for being so blissfully civilian. I didn't see it as a bad thing. But it was certainly true that I was no warrior. No matter how much I tried to mimic the heroes of those super-powered school action titles, I was just a regular person. Whatever skills I may have gained as a vampire, it was like a middle schooler getting his hands on a butterfly knife. Kishot must have felt let down. Especially if the first person was so incredible. Well, whether you made me into your thrall out of consideration for my life, or if you did it so that I'd collect your limbs, in the end, it was just an emergency measure. I guess there'd be no reason for me and that first person to have anything in common. But you did say we were the same race, right?
Indeed.
So what, he was Asian? Surely not Japanese, though. Continental Asian?
No, a Japanese,
she said unexpectedly.
I was gallivanting around the world, my youth getting the better of me, and I met the man here in this country, and that is when I learned Japanese as well. Though much seems to have changed with the language since then.
Japan 400 years ago. That would be the Edo period, I think. I suck at Japanese history, too. Well, I'm bad at everything other than math. So he wasn't a warrior, he was a samurai.
Hmm? Ah, perhaps he was.
Kishot nodded.
Either way, he was strong.
Huh. But in that case, you should have gotten him to help you this time around, too. If he's your thrall, that would make him like another one of your servants, right? Then you wouldn't have had to take the risk with me and—
It wasn't possible. He is already dead.
Kishot said as if to cut me off. Actually, she did cut me off.
That too happened in the distant past. Remember I said that I sometimes wield a sword in battle?
Hmm? She did? Wait, that's right. We'd been talking about Dramaturgy's greatswords then. She could use her power to generate matter to create a sword, or something. I'd completely forgotten. Still, I was glad I remembered without messing around in my brain.
The sword is a keepsake from him.
With those words, Kishot flattened the fingers on her right hand and thrust them into her own stomach. Her hand pierced her dress, and her nails dug straight into her innards. Just when I'd avoided picking around my brain. Unconcerned by my stunned expression, Kishot pulled her right hand out from her abdomen. And she was gripping what appeared to be the hilt of a sword. What's more, judging from the hilt, was it a Japanese sword? I'd guessed right. The sword Kishot drew from her own stomach was a great katana more than 6 feet long.
The enchanted blade, Kokoro Watari. It may be by an unknown swordsmith, but apparently it is a fine piece. Of course, I'm not very familiar with these. A sword serves its purpose for me if it cuts well.
Wow. The wound on Kishot's stomach was already healing, so I could focus on the sword. It was long, but not as long as Dramaturgy's. Still, while Dramaturgy's flamberges did have somewhat of an artistic shape, I couldn't deny that a katana had its own unique flavor. To be frank, a Japanese sword didn't seem to match the blonde, dress-wearing Kishot at all. And to begin with, fine or not, could any such weapon withstand a vampire's supernatural strength?
Don't move,
she said. Whip. Kishot swung her sword, Kokoro Watari, as if to flick dust off of it. But that wasn't her intention. Hey!
Don't move. I just cut thee.
What?
Does it hurt?
No.
Then my skills do not seem to have dulled. Ye may move now. Ye have already healed.
What? Are you following up that going around the earth 7.5 times thing with another lie? Even if I heal, I'm not able to heal my clothes, remember? Where did you cut me?
Through thy torso, sideways. Ah, the happy things I slice.
You mean sorry?
Worry not about thy clothes, either. Kokoro Watari's edge is inarguably sharp. So much so, that whatever it cuts pulls itself back together with time. Of course, only because it is wielded by one with my skill at arms.
She didn't seem to be kidding. Seriously? But how is that sword able to withstand your skill and your arm strength? It's just a regular sword, right?
It is not the original. My first thrall created this with his flesh and blood, using the original as material. Furthermore, I inherited it. Well, a too sharp blade presents its own problems, since what it slices sticks back together no matter how many times I cut. One might say that the blade is suited to cutting down aberrations and nothing else.
The aberration cutter, huh?
Indeed. Kokoro Watari is slightly difficult to pronounce, and it is by the name Aberration Slayer that my foes came to know it. That was not always my moniker, but the blade's,
Kishot said, as she stored the sword back in her stomach. It looked like she was committing seppuku. She sure was immortal. But then, she said the sword was a memento from her first thrall, who should have been just as immortal. Yet he was already dead. If an immortal vampire died, does that mean he was slain by a hunter? Dramaturgy. Episode. Guillotine Cutter. Did people like them exist 400 years ago? But Kishot replied with a no.
He was not a man to be slain even on his worst day.
Then how did he die? He was immortal. How else could he die?
Suicide,
Kishot said dispassionately. Her cold eyes were downcast, facing the town spread out below her.
A common reason, one accounting for 9/10 of vampire deaths. Incidentally, the remaining 10 succumb to vampire slayers. Any other reasons fit within the margins of a rounding error.
Suicide? Why?
Do they not speak of dying of boredom?
Boredom was a killer. Guilt could kill too, but boredom was absolutely lethal.
While it of course depends on the situation and the age, most vampires, whether pure-blooded or formerly human, wish to die after living for 200 years.
But how does a vampire commit suicide? We're immortal.
The simplest way is to throw one's body under the sun, as ye did that first day. They throw themselves to their deaths.
Well put, I guess. But was that how it was? I thought back to that day, and sure enough, Kishot had asked me if I had a death wish.
If there was anything odd about that man, it was that he chose death only a few short years after becoming a vampire, when barely anything changes in such a short time.
He died before my eyes, Kishad said. By throwing himself under the sun. He made a display of it. He flaunted it.
And after that?
Kishad muttered.
I created no thralls. Until I met thee, that is.
Didn't you get bored yourself? I asked. Though maybe it was inappropriate. You've lived not just 200 years, but 500.
How could I not be bored?
Kishad replied without drama.
I've had nothing to do.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing for me to ever do. When there is, those vampire hunters respond by swarming to me like flies, just as those three followed me here on my sightseeing trip.
Sightseeing? That, I thought, was probably a lie. But then again, maybe it was true. If it was here in this country that she created her first thrall.
Yet I was not bored by thee, my servant. Thy actions, every one of them, were absurd.
It must have been the first time in history that a human had offered his own neck to a vampire, Kishad observed with an amused laugh. Compared to the age she looked now, it was such a childlike laugh.
Ye also dared to call me Kishad from the beginning.
Oh, I never got a good chance to ask about it, but everyone sounds surprised when I call you by that name. Even Oshino. Am I not supposed to or something?
It is the rare fool who calls a vampire by her true name.
True name? Is that like a first name?
To try to explain it would be foolish as well. But perhaps 'tis generational, or rather, epochal. I speak not only of myself, but of those three as well. Out of fashion and out of date. If we wanted to match the current age, perhaps we need to appear as that boy does.
You think you need to dress like Oshino? No way. I'd never accept anything about that sleazeball as being ideal.
I speak more of reality than ideals.
In any case, Kishad said.
That is about all I can speak of. And now I am more interested in hearing thy story. 17 years, correct? You can't have spent all of it idly. Try to amuse me.
What a way to put me on the spot. Plus, she'd set the bar very high for interesting stories. Okay. Then how about a funny little story? There once was a man. While he was a decent young man, he had a weakness for drink. If that was all, you could write it off as a personal foible, but one day, he drove drunk and struck a young girl crossing on a green light, her hand up in the air. Drunk as he was, he didn't notice that he'd hit the girl until the next morning, when he saw the blood on his car's bumper in his apartment's parking lot. He then learned through the newspaper that the name of the girl he struck was Rika. Turning himself in would be the right thing to do, but the man hesitated. There should have been no witnesses, so if he never spoke up... While he wrestled with such thoughts, night came. And that was when the phone in his apartment rang. My name's Rika. I'm in front of your apartment, the voice simply said, before the line died. Rika? That's impossible! The man began to tremble. The voice was unmistakably a young child's lisp. Could it be the girl he ran over? The one that should be dead? Then the phone rang for a second time. My name's Rika. I'm on the first floor now. The man's room was on the fifth. Surely that's where Rika was headed. Upon realizing this, the man's trembling gave way to terror. Then, a third call. My name's Rika. I just got on the elevator. What, too lazy to use the stairs? I'd bombed. And after I'd gone on for so long, too. I'd tried to mimic the style of a raconteur, which may have been incredibly grating.
No, not that kind. A regular, interesting story,
Kishad said. Ugh. My pride was wounded. I was more used to playing the straight man. But I couldn't turn back, not after being dismissed like that. Okay, then part two.
Oh?
An old proverb. Where there's a will, there's a yay! She didn't even grin. One-liners weren't working out either. Fine, then part three. Let me tell you an embarrassing story. That bit earlier about world history reminded me of it.
I'm expecting quite a bit of this.
Once on a test, I was asked the following. Prior to World War II, Japan faced the ABCD line. Give the names of the countries corresponding to each of the letters in ABCD. So this is how I answered. A, USA, B, Great Britain, C, China, and D, Deutschland. Kishot cocked her head to the side. She wasn't even going to laugh at my embarrassing story? Well, you see, what's funny is that while I correctly answered USA and Great Britain, though they didn't start with those letters, I couldn't figure out what D stood for and went with the first thing I could think of, even though it was in German. But, like, Germany was on the Axis side? I was now being reduced to explaining my own joke. In response, Kishot said,
"What sort of line is this ABCD line?"
"That's right. Our common sense means nothing to you." What a sad way for a joke to fall flat. And then we continued until, at last, the clock ticked to midnight, bringing the date to April 7th, which meant that Kishot and I spoke on top of the abandoned building's roof until the last day of Naoetsu High spring break was here. While I'd felt like Kishot's cold eyes were brimming with an intent to stifle my parade of silly jokes, partway through, the two of us found ourselves in one of those moods where anything is funny, and both of us started to erupt in laughter at whatever either of us said. I think most of it was meaningless talk. I think most of it was empty talk. But probably, when I look back on that spring break, the most vivid memory from it, the one I'd never forget, was going to be chatting with Kishot that day, that time there. It would be the fact that we laughed together.
"All right,"
Kishot said, standing as she wiped tears of laughter out of her still cold eyes.
"I suppose it's about time to turn thee back into a human."
Oh, yeah. That was right. I had somehow forgotten. I surprised even myself. How does someone forget something that important? I'd spent too much time having fun, but, well, the party was winding down. Speaking of which, didn't your first thrall ever say that he wanted to turn back into a human?
That's iffy.
Iffy? What an uncharacteristically contemporary word for her.
At that time, I was in fact unable to turn him back into a human, and I plan to use the lessons I learned then this time around. Are you ready?
Well, actually, I'm a little hungry. I think it's because I laughed so much. Could I get a bite to eat first? I'm pretty sure we're out of food, so can I quickly go get something?
I am famished too, after suddenly returning to my perfect form. But is thy hunger so pressing?
Not really.
Will ye bring back thy rations here?
Rations? What a weird way to put it. Was it just her dated sensibility? Well, it's my last night as a vampire. I think it's me being reluctant to just quit being one. Is there anything you want?
I've neither likes nor dislikes.
Only a convenience store would be open at that hour, of course, so it wasn't like we had many options.
Very well. Follow thy heart, servant. I shall humor thy sentiment of wanting to remain my servant for a while longer. I will make preparations on the second floor.
Okay. And with that, our conversation on the roof came to an end. While I said only convenience stores would be open, the closest one was pretty far away. It would take an hour round trip from the abandoned cram school. That is, if I didn't run there using the leg speed of a vampire. But I didn't feel like running. If anything, I walked at a deliberate pace. Phew. What to do?
I suppose it's about time to turn thee back into a human,
she'd said. I couldn't deny that I balked after her all too casual words. After all, I was a chicken, and I was a loser. However, my telling Kishot that I was reluctant to just quit being one was a convenient lie. Of course, it wasn't that I wanted to be her servant for just a little more. How could I? but I was reluctant to say goodbye to her. And probably Kishot felt the same way. Something to discuss in turning me back into a human. In the end, there had been nothing. All she'd wanted to do was talk to me. Finish with a little get-together. I don't know. Kishot Acerora Orion Hard Underblade. The iron-blooded, hot-blooded, yet cold-blooded vampire. The legendary vampire. The aberration slayer. I guess she's going to go off somewhere. She'd recovered all of her body parts. There'd be no reason for her to stay any longer in this town. Or country. Sightseeing, she'd said. Considering the story about her first thrall, this was probably like a trip down memory lane for her. Only, this visit had left those memories plastered over with unimaginably awful ones. A stolen heart and 4 torn-off limbs. She created a second thrall out of desperation. But he was a regular person. Not only that, he told her he wanted to become human again. At least she said I didn't bore her. She said she'd been invited to become a god, but declined. What a contrast with Guillotine Cutter. She would leave this country, and then what? Wander the world again? No. She said that she only gallivanted around because her youth had gotten the better of her. So maybe she didn't travel that much lately. Could she even ride planes to begin with? Wait, she could just sprout wings and fly through the air. What a convenient body. Still, I wasn't reluctant to quit being a vampire. Probably the only thing that bound me in Kishot was my being one, and I'd simply gotten cold feet about losing our tie. I felt like I understood why Oshino, despite being such a joker, never said goodbye. What can you do, though? Meetings and partings. That was life. It may have been 2 weeks full of horrible memories for Kishot. But looking back on it, maybe it hadn't been such a bad spring break for me. Maybe it hadn't been so bad. And because I could think so. All right. I decided to follow up our get-together with our farewell party. Wanting to go out with as big of a bang as possible, I scraped together what money I had left to buy all the cakes and sweets I could at the convenience store, and then headed back to the abandoned cram school with a newfound spring in my step. On the way back, I swore I'd say my goodbyes to Kishot, and then arrived at the second floor classroom. The date was April 7th. The time was past 2 in the morning.
I'm home!
Trying my best to sound cheerful, I opened the door. Kishot was eating. Chomp, chomp, chew, chew, nah, nah. 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 She was eating. A human.
What?
The convenience store bag fell out of my hands. The sound it made caused Kishot to turn around. Still in her hands. A human head, not halfway through.
Ah, my servant. Back earlier than I expected. But did I not tell thee? Have some manners and excuse thyself when a lady is eating.
I had seen the head somewhere before. One of the 3. One of the vampire hunters. The one human among them. It was Guillotine Cutter. His body, his flesh, had been torn to pieces. Minced into bite-sized fragments. Served open and whole.
He came by as I awaited thy return. It seems that even this barrier fails to hide my presence now that my powers are at their fullest. Then again, he came at the perfect time, just as I was feeling hungry. A handy restorative.
And then, Kishot seemed to be looking for someone behind me. She tilted her head quizzically.
What is this? Had you not gone out to fetch those bespectacled braided rations?